الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد. So we start inshallah ta'ala. We proceed after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His aid and His assistance and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in ibad, in His ibadah, and to make these last few days remaining of Ramadan and that which is after it for His pleasure subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we obey Him subhanahu. Last week, I think it's a week ago, we obviously went through the benefits on Shahr al-Mumti of Shaykh al-Muthaymeen, and we mentioned those who fasting is upon, it's upon them to fast in the month of Ramadan. Can anyone remember the categories of people? The first one is the Muslim. And that is that if the person who fasting has to be a Muslim for it to be accepted. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Verily the religion with Allah is Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرِ إِسْلَامِ دِينَ فَلَيْنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Whoever seeks other than Islam as a religion, as a form of ibadah, as a form of worship, تَدَيُّنًا, then it's not accepted from them. So it's a condition that the person must be a Muslim in order for their fast to be accepted. And Shaykh Muthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, regarding this issue, he mentioned an issue which a lot of the ulama of fiqh and usul have discussed, and that is if somebody is a non-believer, are they taken into account for not fasting? Being that their fast is not accepted, are they going to be taken into account in the hereafter, punished for not fasting? What was the issue that we dealt with? What was the different aqwal or the different opinions as it relates to this? The first opinion.
Is that, they would, because if a Muslim with a asi disobeyed Allah, if he's worthy of the punishment, then that person is more worthy of the punishment.
Naam. One of the opinions is that the disbeliever will be taken to account and receive punishment in hereafter for not fasting in the month of Ramadan. Why? Because if, for example, a Muslim who's mustakbir, a Muslim who is arrogant and stubborn, doesn't fast, he will get punished. So min bab al-awla, min bab al-awla, that the person who is not a believer will be punished. Now, when we say min bab al-awla, what do we mean? We use it. These are from the usul. These type of istilahat and these terminologies are used in usul to understand fiqh. It's a qiyas al-what? Bab al-awla is from qiyas al-awla. It's from qiyas al-awla. An analogy which is more than likely or should happen if something else happens. So for example, we use the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the parents. Can you remember that verse? لا تقول لهما أف. Do not say what? أف to your parents. And أف is a type of disgust with the parents. If you're not supposed to say أف, which is verbal, to your parents, then from من باب الأولى you shouldn't be. It's haram for you to hit them. It's haram for you to hit them. So if it's haram for you to speak, then it's more likely it's going to be haram for you to hit, because hitting is more severe. Because hitting is more severe. So min bab al awla, if the Muslim who doesn't fast in the month of Ramadan because due to arrogance and so forth and laziness, if he is going to be taken to account, punished in hereafter, or tahta mashiatillahi ta'ala in hereafter, then it's more likely than the disbeliever who doesn't believe in Allah and doesn't fast that he'll be taken into account. And what's the proof for that? What's the proof for that opinion? The first opinion is that they'll be taken to account. The second opinion is that they won't be taken to account. And the correct opinion is what? That they'll be taken to account. And what's the proof for that? Surah Al-Mudathir, Naam. مَنْ سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. Where the people in the hereafter, the people in the hellfire will be asked, what caused you to fall into the hellfire? May Allah protect us. What caused you to be from the people of hellfire? Saqar is another name from hellfire. What caused you to be from hellfire? They say what? The reason is, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We weren't from those who used to pray. We weren't from those who used to pray. And these are the kuffar, meaning that the rulings pertaining to the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala applies to the kuffar. Because obviously it's as the correct or the closest to the haq opinion is that if you don't pray, you're not Muslim. So there you go. So that's one of the proofs that the ulama used to say and show that without, if you don't pray, then you're not Muslim. And when Allah said Musallin, it means the believers, the people who prostrate to Allah, the Muslims. Lamnakum, he wasn't from them, so he's not Muslim. And he's not Muslim and he wasn't from them, and the attribute that Allah SWT gave them is who? Musallin, those who pray. Fiqh, ahkam. So meaning that that's one of the reasons why they will be taken to account in the hereafter. Second condition or second category of people as it relates to fasting that is obligatory upon is who? Who? Mukallif, good. The mukallif. What's a mukallif? What does mukallif mean? Mention two things that shows a mukallif. For example,
someone who is wanting to do legislated acts.
Good. Generally, a mukallif is somebody who is upon him to do a legislated act. Okay? Shaykh Muthim Rahmatullahi Alayhi explained that mukallif is known by two what? First is what? Baligh. And he's aqil. Baligh and he's aqil. Baligh age reached puberty, adulthood. And aqil, meaning that his faculties of thinking are sound. He's not insane. So this is an individual who is legislated upon him to do legislated acts. And it's upon him to do these acts. As for the baligh, we mentioned that we know the signs for the baligh. I missed something out last week. Does anybody know? We mentioned last week that the baligh, we know when somebody has reached puberty, male, by three ways. What are those three ways? I missed the female. Three ways is what? There are four ways, three of them are for males. Okay, the three for males are what? Huh? He brings out ejaculation through pleasure. He ejaculates through pleasure. Number one, pubic hair. Pubic hair. And the third one, if he doesn't have pubic hair or he doesn't ejaculate through pleasure, and how do we know he's reached puberty? The age of what? 15. Is it clear cut or is there a difference of opinion? The scholars differed as it relates to this. Some scholars said what? 19. What did the Ahnaf? The Ahnaf said, just wait. The Ahnaf, they said, just wait. Okay? But, Imam Ahmed, rahmatullah alayhi, he said 15. And this is not because it's Imam Ahmed who said it. It's because it's the closest to the Quran and Sunnah. From the hadith of who? Abdullah ibn Umar. When he was 14, he did what?
he asked to go to battle, and the Prophet ﷺ let him go, or he rejected him. He rejected him, meaning that he's too young. And then he came when he was what? Next year, when he was 15. And the Prophet ﷺ allowed him to fight in battle. So min bab al awla. Okay, so if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed him to do something as such as battles and jihad and so forth, then it's more likely than it's upon him to fast. Okay, so min bab al awla, qiyas al awla. Okay, so this is a proof, this is a clear proof that at the age of 15, that is when you reach puberty, if you don't see the signs of pubic hair, or there's no ejaculation through pleasure, and so forth. Jameel. The third, no, aqil. Aqil. What does aqil mean? Rajulun aqil. Huh? He's sane, or his faculties of thinking are what? Sound. Sorry, we missed the women's again, females on again. Okay, and a sign for the female, one of the signs for females, obviously pubic hair and others, and also menstruation, hayd. Okay, and also menstruation. And we've got an issue dealing with menstruation today, inshallah, to make up for last week. Okay, inshallah, so al-aqil is somebody who's sound, okay? And is there, what's the proof of that? What's the proof that somebody who's غير عاقل, he's not a mukallaf? Shams. Naam. Naam. That the pen has been lifted on three categories of people. Huh? Al-majnun hatta yafiq. Bitartib, yani, umuman. Al-na'im hatta yastayqid. Okay. Al-na'im hatta yastayqid. The one who's asleep, it's not upon, and nothing's upon him until he wakes up. Until he what? Huh? Sleeping. He's asleep. So if he as in that state of sleep, that state of sleep is not mukallaf. It's not upon him to do anything, for example, until he wakes up. And the young boy until he, or young girl until they, yablug, they reach puberty. And the final one, al-majnoon hatta yafiq. The one that's insane, it's the pen is lifted up until he what? His faculties of thinking is stable. His faculties of thinking is what? Stable. So sometimes it fluctuates, off or on. Tayyib. Third category we mentioned, Qadir. That he's able. That he's what? Able. And what comes under Qadir? Mariyid. The one that's what? Sick. The one that's sick or ajiz or ajuz, or is an old man, old woman, who has, or anybody who has na'am. It's upon them to feed. It's upon them to what? Feed if they're old and they're unable to fast. And for somebody who's sick, it's upon them to make up the days. It's upon them to make up the days. Okay, let's move on now. And obviously the final one is what? Al-Muqeem. The final one is what? Muqeem, residence A, is not traveling. If he's not traveling, it's not obligatory generally for him to fast. Rather, he can break his fast and make his fast up in other days. But this issue is what we're going to deal with now. And I believe the issue of the sick person and the traveling person, I think this is Mas'ala to, we'll make it first issue of today. Mas'ala to Ula, the first issue of today. We're going to have about four issues. Now, we've got about four issues we're dealing with today, inshallah, three or four issues. The first issue is, أَيُّمَا أَفْضَلِ الْمَرِيدِ وَالْمُسَافِرِ أَنْ يَسُومَ أَوْ يُفْتَرَى. What's more befitting for the person who is traveling or is sick? Is it better for him to fast or to break fast? We're going to split that into two different issues. The first issue we can say is for the person who's sick. It's for the person who is sick. What is better for him to do? Fast or to break his fast? Shaykh Muthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, Al-Afdal an yaf'al al-aysar. That which is better for the person who is sick is to take the easier option. The easiest option. فَإِنْ كَانَ فِي الصَّوْمِ darar, كَانَ الصَّوْمِ haram. If this person who is sick, okay, if fasting is will be detrimental to his health or cause him harm, increase harm, then it is haram for him to fast. Not allowed. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taqtulu anfusakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and do not kill yourself. Do not kill yourselves. Sheikh Uthaymeen says regarding this, A, this verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not kill yourself, in Allah kana bikum rahima, verily Allah is merciful to you. Sheikh Uthaymeen says, hadha fil qatl, this is for killing. Does it mean harm? Does harm come into this? In the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does Allah mention harm or does he mention killing? He means what? Killing. Sheikh Uthaymeen rahmatullahi said, naam, hadha zahir al-ayah. Yes, harm incorporates killing here, because killing is harm. Killing is what? Harm. So it generally incorporates harm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not kill yourselves. It includes do not harm yourselves. Do not harm yourselves. So therefore, the person who is marid, the person who is sick, it's haram for him to fast if fasting will increase him in harm, or it will cause his illness to increase or become worse, which could even lead to death. Next question. This is within this mas'ala, this point of the sick person. How can we know what is harmful? Is it a flu? Is it a cough? How do we know that which is harmful? That which, if he fasts, it would be detrimental to his health. How do we know this? Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that we know this by two ways. We know this via two ways. He says that verily, adar al yakun bil his. Harm can be by feeling. You can feel the harm. You can feel the harm. Yani, if you were to fast and you're sick and you can feel the increased harm, this is clear indication that you shouldn't fast when you're sick. So that's the first. It's called al-his. Al-what? Al-his. Yani, you can feel. You can feel the darar. You can feel the harm. وَالثَّانِي قَلْ يُؤْلَمْ بِالْخَبَرِ The second one, it can be known by being informed. So the first one is by feeling it. The second one is by being informed when you're sick. Al-khabar. يعني يُلَم بِالْخَبَر. يعني يُلَم is known by somebody informing you or somebody telling you that by fasting, this will harm you. And this is known by who? By the doctors. So the Shaykh says, فَأَمَّا الْخَبْرُ فَأَنَّ وَإِنَّ خَبْرَهُ فَإِنْ يُخْبِرْ الطَّبِيبْ عَالِمٌ ثِقَّةٌ بذلك أي بأنه يضر فإن أخباره عامي ليس بطبيب فلا يؤخذ برأيه. Sheikh said, as for the information being given, if the one who gives it is a tabib, is a knowledgeable doctor, tabib عالم ثقة, it's a knowledgeable doctor who is trustworthy. It's a knowledgeable doctor who is what? Trustworthy. If that knowledgeable doctor who's trustworthy informs you that by you fasting it will cause you increased harm, this is how you know that you shouldn't fast. So he must be a knowledgeable doctor, not somebody who just reads, who does Google. Who just types Google, fasting, is it good for you when you're sick? Somebody who is knowledgeable. Doctors who are practitioners who know their job. They know that they are professional doctors and they know their job and they're trustworthy. Not a doctor who's anti-Islam, for example, who doesn't want you to fast anyway. Okay, so you must be someone who you can trust that is not like that. Somebody's going to be balanced and fair in his judgment of your illness. That's what the Sheikh means about thiqah. Okay, now the issue is, the Sheikh says, نعم هل يشترط أن يكون مسلما لكي نثق فيه لأن غير المسلم لا يؤمن. The Sheikh says, رحمه الله تعالى, is it okay for us, or is it a condition that the person who, or the doctor that we go back to is a Muslim? Is it a condition in order for us to trust him because the non-believers cannot be trusted? Is it a condition? The Sheikh said that which is correct, that it's not a condition. Okay? Because when we trust that individual's professionalism in his job, he doesn't necessarily have to be a Muslim. If he's known to be a good doctor, a professional doctor, again showing you the knowledge of Jarh al-Ta'dil, if he's known to be a professional doctor, somebody who is good at his job, even if he's not a Muslim, then you can take his qawl. Then you could take his qawl. And we need proof for this, sah? What's the proof for this? Who can think of the proof of kafar being used. Yalla. When the Prophet ﷺ made hijrah. When the Prophet ﷺ, he made hijrah to Medina with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu in a hadith which is in Sahih Bukhari, where Nabi ﷺ wathaq fi al-kafir fi a'zam al-halat, the Sheikh said, khatara wadhalika hina hajara bi Makkah ila al-Medina sta'jar rajulun mushrika liyadulluhu ala al-tariq. Where Sheikh Uthaymeen, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used the assistance of a disbeliever in the most dangerous of situations when he was being sought of by the mushrikeen in his hijrah to Medina from Mecca. He sought assistance from a man from Mecca, when he sought assistance from a man who knew the roads. He was somebody who was knowledgeable about the way from Mecca to Medina, and he was a mushrik, he wasn't a Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ used him and asked his assistance in guiding to the way of Medina. So if the Prophet ﷺ used it in this situation, Mimbab al-Aula, Qiyas al-Aula, Mimbab al-Aula, that you can use it for other than that. Because it was a difficult situation for the Prophet ﷺ making a hijrah from Mecca to Medina, as the mushrikeen were after him ﷺ. It was a dangerous situation, but yet the Prophet ﷺ used the assistance of a known individual who knows the way to Medina. So therefore, it's permissible for us to use the doctor who is good at his job in order to ascertain whether it's harmful or more harmful for us to fast when we are sick. Now, that's the end of that mas'ala. Mas'ala 2, al-thaniya. With the first issue was whether it is better for the individual to fast when they're sick. Mas'ala to thaniya, the second issue, whether it is better for the person who is traveling to fast or not to fast. Somebody asked this yesterday, I think. Now, whether it is more befitting, whether it's awla lil musafir an yasuma or awla an la yasum. Is it more befitting or better for the person who's traveling to fast or not to fast when they're traveling? Naam, the Shaykh says, نقول مذهب الهنابلة, the methodology or the opinion of the Hanabila. When we say the Hanabila, it doesn't mean Imam Ahmed necessarily. When we say the Hanabila, it could be from the people who follow the madhab of Imam Ahmed afterwards. It doesn't necessarily mean this is the statement of Imam Ahmed. So when the ulama of fiqh, when you see in the books, I say this, the madhab of the Hanabila, it could be from the Mutaakhirin. It could be from the latter scholars of the Hanabila. Yani those people who follow the usul of the Imam Ahmed in as it relates to fiqh. And we mentioned the usul of Imam Ahmed. What's the usul of Imam Ahmed we mentioned last week? We mentioned the usul of Imam Ahmed in istidlal, in fiqh. Al-Quran. Was-sunnah. Wal-ijma' wa qawla sahaba. Wa? Wal-qiyas in the ad-darura. Remember? Naam, an analogy is in qiyas if it's necessary. These are the four principles of Imam Ahmed. The other ulama, they have their own principles. This is a tight principle. So just because somebody says you read from the Hanabila, it doesn't necessarily mean it's from Imam Ahmed when you read the books of fiqh. It could be from those after. Okay? It could be from those after who held that opinion according to the proofs that they felt were strong with them. According to the proofs that they thought stronger than them. The madhab of Hanabila, they say, is awla an la yasum. Bal karihu as-sawm. They said that it's better that he fast, the traveler. This is from the madhab or the methodology or the opinion of the Hanabila. That it's better that he fasts. Rather, they say, it's better that he doesn't fast. It's better that he doesn't fast, but rather they say it's dislike that he does fast. It's better that he doesn't fast, and they say that it's disliked that he does fast. That's the first opinion. The second opinion is the opinion of Ibn Hazm. We mentioned this last week. The opinion of what? Ibn Hazm. For who? From which madhab is that? Zahiriyya. From the opinion of Ibn Hazm, he says that it's haram to fast when you're traveling. All of this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a leeway and you're not taking it. Allah has given you what? A rukhsa, a leeway, and you're not taking it. So the Hanabila, they say that it's disliked, makruh. Remember we've done the definition of makruh? You're not sinning, but it's disliked that you do it. As for Ibn Hazm, he says it's haram for you to fast when you're traveling. Ibn Hazm says it's haram for you to fast when you're traveling, which means that you're sinning if you fast when you're traveling. This is the opinion of Ibn Hazm. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, al-awla an yasum. Imam Shafi, he says it's better that he fasts. So the Hanabila say what? It's better that he doesn't fast. And some say it is what? It's disliked. The Zahiriya, they say what? Ibn Hazm? It's haram. And Imam Shafi, the Shafi'iyya, sorry, they say it's better to fast. Sheikh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, in explaining this opinion later on in his book, not directly, but I found it later on in his explanation in his kitab, he said, "Wassawab anna al-musafir lahu thalatha halat." Now we're going to look at what's the best opinion as it relates to fasting and traveling. He said, the fasting person has three different states. The fasting person has three different states. The first one, "An la yakuna لِصَوْمِهِ مَزِيَّةَ عَلَى فِطْرِهِ أَفَطْرِهِ." He said that there is no difference whether he fasts or he doesn't fast as it relates to himself. It doesn't affect him in any way. He's traveling, if he fasts, he's the same state as he is if he doesn't fast. The Sheikh said that fasting is better in this situation. That fasting is better in this situation, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted in a hadith that's mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. Sorry, the first hal, the first state of who, the traveler, and fasting is what? That if he fasts or if he doesn't fast, it doesn't make a difference to himself. He's as he is when he fasts, he's the same as when he doesn't fast. In this situation, Sheikh Muthaymin says that it's better to fast. That it's better to fast. And the first, he brings some proofs to establish this. The first one is from the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fasted in Ramadan, and it was very hot, and most of the companions couldn't fast, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha fasted. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha fasted. They both fasted, and the rest of the companions didn't fast. So therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted in that state. Why? Because it didn't make any difference to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second opinion, or the second angle of proof that Sheikh Muthaymin says that in this state, when it's no difference whether you fast or not, that you should fast, is that it's better for you to finish that which you're owed, or that you owe, sooner. It's better for you to complete that which you owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your worship sooner than later. So it's better that if you can do it now, do it now. Second one is ashal al mukallif ghaliban. The third angle that the Sheikh brings, that why the individual should fast in this state where there's no difference in his health or his state, if he fasts or he doesn't fast, that he should fast. The first one is the proof that the Prophet fasted. The second issue that the Sheikh brings to prove that you should fast is that the individual who fasts is clearing that which he owes sooner. He's fulfilling his wajibat sooner. And it's better, and it's always better that you complete that which is obligatory upon you sooner than later. Third reasoning that the Sheikh brings, so we can say it's a reasoning. The third reasoning that the Sheikh brings, rahmatullah alayh, anhu ashal ala mukallif ghaliban. That is easier for the mukallif, for the person who is upon him to fast, for him to fast there and then. It's easier for him. Lianna sawm wal fitr ma'an nas ashal, because he's fasting with the people. So it's easier for the individual to fast with the people than to make up his fast after Ramadan. Have we not felt this? Yes or no? So when everyone is fasting, it's easier for you to complete the fast. Whereas if you leave the day and then you say, okay, I'll make it up afterwards, it's more difficult. So the Sheikh says from this angle, it's better for you to fast in that situation where it doesn't make any difference when you're traveling, whether you fast or not. The fourth one that the Sheikh mentions, the nice benefits, rahmatullahi alayhi. He said, أَنَّهُ يُدْرِكْ زَمْنَ الْفَاضِلِ. He said that the person who, if he's traveling and it doesn't make any difference if he fasts, it's better for him to fast. Why? Because he reaches on, he's fasting in the virtuous month of Ramadan. So it's better for him to fast in the virtuous month of Ramadan than to fast outside of Ramadan. So it's better for him to do it there and then in this blessed month, as opposed to making it up afterwards. Okay, so that's the first state. What's the first state of the person who's traveling? Who can tell me? It's a bit wordy. The first state is what? It doesn't make a difference to his energy, health, or what have you, if he fasts or if he doesn't fast. And the Sheikh brought what proof?
The hadith was someone who's traveling with the companions.
Naam, where the Prophet is from, the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he fasted when he was traveling. Second reasoning that the Sheikh brings, it's better to do that which you owe as soon as possible. It's better to do that which you owe as soon as possible. Third reasoning, it's easier to fast with the people. Yes or no? Have you not found this? It's easier. It's easier to fast with the people. And the fourth reasoning the Sheikh brings, the virtues of fasting in the month of Ramadan. That's for that state of individual. The second state of the person who's traveling is that breaking fast is easy on him. Breaking fast is what? Easy. There's a difference here. There's a what? Difference in that he's traveling, and if he was to break fast, it would be easier for him when he's traveling. The Sheikh said that it's better for him to break his fast in this situation. It's better for him to break his fast in this situation. And the third state is for the individual who, by fasting, it becomes what? Harmful to him when he's traveling. It's harmful on him while he's traveling for him to fast. So if he fasts when he's traveling, it becomes harmful to him. In this state, is it halal, makruh, haram, or what? It's what? Haram. From what proof? La taqtulu anfusakum. Don't kill yourselves. And harming comes into this verse. So therefore, if you're asked a question by your family or your younger brother, and they ask you, or your younger sister, and they ask you, is it better for me to fast when I'm traveling or not to fast when I'm traveling? What is the correct opinion? One answer, or is it detailed? It's detailed. Tafsil, it's detailed. Depending on what? The state of the individual. Sheikh Muthaymi mentions how many states? Three. The first one is the person who doesn't make any difference at all. The second? It's easier for him. And the third? It's harmful for him to fast. It's harmful for him to fast. It's easier for him. No. It's easier for him to fast. Babe. Okay. The Sheikh Muthaymi rahimahullah ta'ala, he then mentions the third mas'ala. Is it the third mas'ala or second mas'ala? How many issues have we dealt with now? We've done two issues. The first issue was whether it's better to fast when you're sick or not, or whether it's better to fast when you're traveling or not. The third issue now, hafidhukumullah, is a situation. This issue is a situation where, for example, it's the first day of Ramadan, and the individual finds out it's Ramadan during the day. It's the first day in Ramadan, for example, and he doesn't know it's Ramadan until like Dhuhr time. So he's eaten after Fajr. What is the state of this individual? The individual who doesn't know it's Ramadan and he eats. Muftir. He hasn't made intention before, so he can't fast. Says the Sheikh. He stops and he carries on fasting. Okay. I haven't given you the answer yet. I've just put it out there. There's no intention. Okay. Huh? So that's a proof that you can carry on and you don't have to make it up. Huh? That's your ijtihad. Jazakallah khair. Okay, this is an issue. That's the beautiful thing about the books of Shaykh Muthaymin rahmatullah alayhi. He deals with a lot of those issues taken from the Quran and Sunnah that, you know, we can relate to as well in our daily life. Okay, so the topic is an individual who finds out that it's Ramadan during the day. Okay? During the day. During the day. Okay. Two opinions. There are two opinions. The first opinion is the opinion of a lot of the Hanabila. The first opinion is the opinion of a lot of the Hanabila. And that is that he has to stop fasting and make it up as well. So he has to stop eating, yani he has to fast and make it up as well. So he continues fasting for the rest of the day and he makes up that day. Why? Because they say that he hasn't had the intention, like the Sheikh mentioned. They had not, you said it. The intention, he hasn't made an intention before Fajr. He hasn't made his intention before Fajr. So because he hasn't made his intention before Fajr, okay, that fasting is not counted. Okay? And because it's a fasting day, he has to fast. That's the first opinion. And that's the opinion of the Hanabi. You don't seem convinced. And the proof that they use for that is from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab, innama al-a'malu bi an-niyat. Verily, actions are by intentions, and he hasn't got an intention. He didn't start with the intention, so therefore they're saying that his fast, yani he has to continue fasting because it's obligatory upon him, and he has to make it up another day. Second opinion, the second opinion is the opinion of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. The second opinion is the opinion of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. وَذَهَبَ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ ابْنُ تَيْمِيَةَ رَحِمُ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَا قَضَاءَ عَلَيْهِ بَلْ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ إِمْسَاكِ. He said that he doesn't have to make it up, but he should start fasting. Shaykh ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that he doesn't have to make it up, but he has to stop eating and drinking, he has to start fasting. And what proof did the Shaykh bring to establish this? He said, وَعَلَّلَ شَيْخُ مُثَيْمِينَ says, وَعَلَّلَ مَا ذَهَبَ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَشْرَبُونَ قَبْلَ ثُبُوتِهِ بِالْبَيِّنَةِ كَانُوا يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَشْرَبُونَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Shaykh Muthaymin says that Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that these people that are eating and drinking before the clarification of it being Ramadan has reached them are eating and drinking from the permission of Allah. فَقَدْ أَحَلَّهُ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. Allah has made that permissible for him. Yani just like the individual who drinks and eats forgetfully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fed him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him drink. So likewise, the individual who doesn't know that it's Ramadan on the first day of Ramadan until Dhuhr, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that he should just fast. And he's excused. Why? Because he didn't know. And he comes under the statement of Allah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. And he says that he comes under the umbrella of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, oh our Lord, do not take us to account for that, those things that we make mistakes for, i.e. that we're ignorant or that we forget. We'll get to menstruation in a minute, inshallah. Ibn Taymiyyah. أَخْطَأْنَا لَتُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِئْنَا إِشْ أَخْطَأْنَا. If we forget, yani we will forget, or أَخْطَأْنَا, we're ignorant. We're what? We're ignorant. So the person who forgets and the person who's ignorant. He says that the individuals that do not fast because they only find that in Dhuhr are from those who are ignorant. So therefore they come under this verse. So Allah A'lam, Shaykh Muthaymin says this is the strongest opinion. This is the strongest opinion, that the person who finds out that it's Ramadan during halfway throughout the day, or in the middle of the day, that this person just continues fasting and he's excused for that which he didn't fast because he didn't know. But then Shaykh Muthaymin, rahmatullah alayhi, he adds that it's better for him to make it up anyway. He said it's better for him to make it up anyway. That's the opinion of Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi. But Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah's kalam is qawi. Yeah, it's qawi. Ibn Taymiyyah's kalam is what? Qawli. But ihtiraz or ihtiyatan, just precautionarily, the Sheikh says that you should what? Make the day up. Make the day up. Naam. Issue number four is related to if a woman is during her menstruation cycle, she's in her period, as they say, and she becomes pure, or her period or menstruation finishes halfway throughout the day. What does she do? This is the next issue for us. Does she do ghusl? I mean, she does ghusl no matter what. Huh? That's the issue. Does she fast the rest of the day, or does she refrain from fasting the rest of the day, or does she fast the rest of the day and make up the day also, like the person who found out in the middle of the day? If a woman's in her menstruation, she just finished her menstruation, her menses, and halfway, dhuhr time. Obviously, from Fajr to Dhuhr, she was in her menses, and Dhuhr time, it stopped. Okay, so it's upon, now she's mukallaf. So now the issue is, what does she do at this state? And this is also for the postnatal woman as well, the postnatal bleeding and so forth. When that stops, for nufasa, when that stops, it could stop in the middle of the day. Before that, obviously she's not supposed to fast. But if it stops during the day of Ramadan, what does she have to do? Okay. First opinion is the opinion of some of the Hanabila again. The first opinion is the opinion of some of the Hanabila. By the way, before we go into this opinion, if you notice the previous opinion, Ibn Thaymin, who people say that is clingy to the Hanbali madhab, he didn't. And this happens a lot of the times, that the Shaykh is following the proof. For the people of innovation and the people of bid'ah, they try and accuse the ulama of Saudiya from being muta'assib or clingy to the Hanbali fiqh. No, it's not the case. And you sit in the classes of the likes of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi, Sheikh Rabi' al-Madkhali, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, and Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, and the likes. And also you read the books of Sheikh Mbaz and Sheikh Muthaymin, you see that they follow the proof. They don't say this is the call of the Hanabila best. Many times you find this. Huh? And Sheikh Fawzan. So this is an insult from the people of innovation as another way for them to try and attack Ahl Sunnah. وَعَلَامُ تَأَهْلِ بِدَعَ الْوَقِيَّةِ فِي أَهْلِ أَثْرِ. The science of the people of innovation is making disparaging statements about the people of the Sunnah. Ibn Uthaymeen opposed the Hanabila in many issues. And this issue of whether you should fast when you're traveling or not, he opposed the Hanabila. Sahih ولا? He opposed the Hanabila. Naam, as for the issue here at hand with regards to the woman who finishes her menses during the day, Naam, the Hanabila, they say that she has to fast and make up the day. That's the first opinion. So she has to fast and make up the day. Okay? She has to fast, why? Because it's the day of Ramadan. So she has to fast like everyone else is fasting. And she has to make up the day, why? Because she didn't have the intention. Because she didn't have the intention. That's their statement. And the second opinion, the second opinion is that the person who is, or the woman who's in the menses during the day Ramadan, it finishes, that all she has to do, make it up. All she has to do is what? Make it up. Al-Qadha. She doesn't have to fast. She doesn't have to, huh? Qawl al-Thani. That she doesn't have to fast. All she has to do is what? Make it up. All she has to do is make it up. And the reason that Sheikh Muthaymin brings for this opinion is that there's no benefit in her fasting if she has to make it up. There's no benefit in her fasting if she has to make it up, because then that means that the only thing that she's getting out of that is stopping her food and stopping her drink. And that's not what's required in fasting. And that's not what's required in fasting. So therefore, the correct opinion is the statement of Sheikh Muthaymin, rahmatullah alayh, in that the woman What? She doesn't fast, but rather she what? She makes it up. If it's permissible for the person who doesn't, who's ignorant, then the woman, she's not. It's not her fault that her menses stopped halfway through the day. So why she should be taken to account? Why should be taken to account? How are we doing? How long have we? Last issue. The last issue. First issue is the person who finds out it's Ramadan halfway throughout the day. Second issue is the woman who stops her menses halfway throughout the day. Third issue now, in this family of issues, is the individual who's traveling and comes back halfway throughout the day. What does he do? The person who is traveling, so obviously he's not fasting, but then he comes back home halfway through the day in Ramadan. What does he do? What does he do? The first opinion is that he has to continue, he has to start fasting, and he has to make up the day. He has to fast and he has to make up the day. Why does he have to fast? Why do you think they say he has to fast? Because he's muqim and he's mukallaf. He's muqim, he's a resident, and he's mukallaf. He's somebody who is legislated for him to fast. So he must join the muqimin. He must join those people who it's upon them to fast. And why does he have to make it up? According to this opinion. No intention. Remember that principle there. That these two things are the main things in these issues. Okay? That the mukallaf and intentions. Now, but as for the intentions, we'll deal with that, if not tomorrow, next week. Because there's difference of opinion, inshallah. We'll deal with that one there. So the second opinion is, what do you think the second opinion is? The first opinion is that he what? He stops fasting and he makes it up. The second opinion from the individual who comes back home from traveling halfway throughout the day, what is the second? What do you think the second opinion is? Huh? He just makes it up. That's the second opinion. He just makes it up, and that is the strongest opinion. Why? From the, we done this 2-3 years ago. Does anyone remember the proof of this? The proof of this is the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Do you remember it? Well, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, "Man akala awwal nahar, akala falyakul fi akhiriha." Whoever eats in the beginning of the day, then let him eat at the end of the day. So therefore, this fasting, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is basically saying, for example, in this situation, that the fasting individual, he wasn't fasting after Fajr, sah? So let him finish the day how he started. So therefore, the traveling person, if he comes home halfway throughout the day, midday, he should continue eating and make up the day as he did in the beginning of the day. And that's from the author of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Naam. Man akala awwal nahar, falyakul akhir nahar. So the person who eats in the beginning of the day, then let him finish eating to the end of the day. So how comes the man doesn't know and he fasts and there's benefits? So a woman, no. We said the correct opinion for the man that doesn't know that he makes up the day. Oh, sorry, the man that doesn't know, he fasts, but he doesn't have to make up the day. The man who doesn't know, or the woman who doesn't know that it's Ramadan, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, he said that he should just fast from the point he knows, and he's excused from the one that he didn't know. So that's a different issue. That's for the menstruating woman. That's a different issue. That's a complete different issue. Now, we'll leave it as that, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll deal with the rest of the issues tomorrow. So how many issues have we dealt with today? What are those issues? Huh? The one that is what? Sick, whether he should, it's better for him to fast or not. And the second issue? Traveler. Third issue? Huh? The one that finds out what? Halfway. And the third issue? Fourth issue? The woman. And the final issue? The traveler, and he comes home halfway through the day, whether it's Dhuhr or after Dhuhr or Asr and so forth. Naam, alhamdulillah bil alameen. So why isn't this used as proof for the one who didn't know or one who is on menses? The correct opinion is the one who's on menses just makes up the day. The one who's on a menses and then she tahir in midday, she makes up her day. As for the one who doesn't know, he continues, or he starts his what? Fast upon his knowledge. Because the one who doesn't, sorry, if you, you mean, yeah. Because he has an excuse of not knowing, because he doesn't know, he's ignorant of the fact that it's Ramadan, so he is falls under the barrier of those who Allah has excused. But the person who's fasting, he knows that it's Ramadan, but he's not fasting because he's traveling. So therefore, the first person, he's excused. The second person, he knows. So you cannot make an analogy of the two. And it's called Al-Qiyas Ma'afariq. In the Usul, it's called making an analogy of two different situations that have no relation. Al-Qiyas Ma'afariq. For istidlal, you shouldn't do that when there's two analogies and they're not, they don't fit the same conditions. Improve. Waraqat, yes, waraqat is good. Well, you know, you know, if you can listen to the tapes of the ulama and sharh waraqat, Sheikh Muthaymeen's Usul is fantastic. Sheikh Muhammad's going through it in Medina now. He hasn't finished. He just kind of started. Abdul Rahman Sa'idi, nice. Tanbihat, I think it's called Tanbihat. Ibn Uthaymeen's one is beautiful. Ooh. That one's, it's actually translated.
Which one?
Al-Asul fi ilm usul. Okay, it's translated, but he has, Sheikh has a metan of the usul, and he has an explanation. Get the explanation, because the metan is not enough. Okay, the metan is very short, the explanation is daqma. Okay, it's thick, and it's very, 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 very simplified. And if you can get the tape's better than the book. The tape is better than the book, because the Sheikh, in his Dars in Usul, it's about 30 tapes. And in that, when you listen to it, you find that it's like a Dars, and there's students asking questions that you can't find in the book. There's audios, you can find it. Inshallah, and check on the Ibn Uthaymeen website. The Ibn Uthaymeen website. If you Google, Sheikh Google, Ibn Uthaymeen, you find his website, and he has all his books, and that explanation is very beneficial. You know, I don't agree with it being translated into English, because it's more complex. It needs explanation. Even those books that are translated need explanation. And there's Bulbul as well, and there's Rawdat al-Nadhir, which is nice for Usul al-Fiqh. You know, but Waraqat is nice, and there's Nadhmu Waraqat, which is the Waraqat has been made into a poem, so it's easy to memorize for the student who wants to do that. If a female doesn't get her menses, but she doesn't have pubic hair, and she doesn't have the other condition, the question I think is, does the same apply to her that at 15, inshallah, zahir nam? Zahir nam. Usually women reach puberty before men. So min babel, awla. What happens if someone knows it's wajib to fast but they don't, and they don't want to catch up their days, example, when on menses because it's too hard, can they feed poor instead? No, they have to fast. If somebody has to make up their fast because of their menses, it's only a week, it's only 5 days, and make it up. What happens if someone knows it's wajib to fast but they don't? Naam. So basically, if someone knows it's obligatory to fast and they don't want to catch up the days, the days of their menses that they've missed, because can they feed? No, they make it up. Advise them to make it up. It's only 5 days, max 6 days. And, it's once a month. You know, so inshallah, she should be advised and encouraged to make up a fast. It's obligatory for her to make up a fast. She should be shown the verses showing the proofs of this in the Quran, the obligation of fasting. And she should be reminded of the reward of fasting and the hadith of Aisha radhiyallahu anha of, you know, she can make up the fast up until the next one, before the next Ramadan. Before the next Ramadan. But now she has to make up a fast. So what about the woman when she finishes her menstruation at Dhuhr or Asr? Does she not eat after ghusl? What's your question? What's the answer to that, Ikhwan? Naam, she has to make it up. Yani, she has to what? Make it up. From that comes from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Masud. Naam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.